Hi, this is Joseph Davis with Palmer Rotary Club, coming to you from Big Cabbage Radio in downtown Palmer. Palmer Rotary Club, service above self. Are you interested in Rotary? Go to the website and Google Rotary International or go to Facebook for Palmer Rotary Club. See what practical projects we do locally and around the world. All right, today I have with me a special guest, special guest number one. What is your name?
I'm Mark Hamilton.
Great. And your name is?
Carly Brakes.
Great. And Mark, where are y'all from?
We're from the Pebble Partnership, part of the public outreach effort.
Okay. And so what do you want to talk about today?
Well, I always want to talk about Pebble Mine.
Okay. So tell me about the Pebble Project.
Well, I think the more people know about the Pebble Project, more they know about the actual facts, the more interested they'll be in it. Have to overcome a great deal of propaganda that's been spread now for nearly a decade. But the Pebble Partnership really has a wonderful new path forward. We've got a much smaller mine. The mine is located on state land that is in the Bristol Bay region, but it's state land specifically selected for its mineral deposit.
Right. Just to remind people that when we had Alaska Native Land Claims Settlement Act, that certain lands were designated for Native allocation, some for parks, some are federal, but some land was specifically chosen for mining potential.
And
is that correct?
That's the case here, yes. Actually, there was a three-way trade in there between among the federal government, SERI, and the state of Alaska.
And do I understand you correctly that the revenues from the Pebble Project or eventual Pebble Mine that goes into permanent fund?
Well, they will pay into the permanent
right,
fund.
Like absolutely. The oil people
absolutely,
do.
Just like oil does.
Now tell me, oil is kind of a slam dunk profits. It's easy to get out. It's easy to transport. Not so in mining.
It's a much more difficult task, and it's one that needs to be undertaken with a tremendous amount of care. Which is exactly what we have done at Pebble. It involves an exploration, first of all, of the ore body. Do you have anything here that is rich enough to ultimately be processed? But secondly, is this suitable for this particular environment? We have spent now about $850 million on this project. A significant amount of that has gone to an environmental baseline study, more than $150 million, find out what's there. What is the flora? What is the fauna? What is the stream flow? You then do core samples that, one, confirm your ore, but maybe 25% of your drilling is to understand water. Which pieces of this water flow into other pieces, not just surface, but also groundwater. And you do a very extensive series of tests that include, in essence, a suction at one to see if it is affected with other drill holes, forcing water in to see where it can come up, because you need to understand the connectivity. You can see the ones that are on the surface, but it's very important to understand all aspects of it at every depth, and we do.
Okay. How long has these studies been going on?
Almost 10 years now.
Oh, wow.
Almost 10 years. Environmental baseline study earlier on, but now you end up responding to specific questions, specific concerns, perhaps brought up by a public comment period. Where you check your books and see, did we look at that? And if you haven't, then you're going to be required to go out and take a look and defend it with science, with facts.
Okay. So how has that progress in learning about the environment progressed over time? Because 10 years is a long time to learn about water flow and what is there.
Well, there's a number of things that you do besides the on-site investigation. as you determine a transportation corridor. You now have to do that work that that covers what are the impacts of a road. How many culverts will it have to have? Do any of those culverts intercept a salmon stream? Because there are different requirements for mm-hmm. for those kinds of things. How are we going to get this this concentrate out? So you have to pick a port. Is the port ready? Does it need to be dredged? And so all of these things continue. That early on environmental baseline study was really just of the surface area, of the area where you would expect to dig. But then you continue your environmental work for everything you touch as you transport this this ore, as you have the port, where are you going to put the ship? Are you going to lighter? Are you going to do this by conveyor belt, by pipe? There's all kinds of ways to do that. You then have got to deal with the powering of the mine.
The powering, what do you mean?
How are you going to bring enough power to this
electricity.
Remote site?
Electricity.
Well, it's going to be electricity, but you choose how you're going to get that. Are you going to get that by diesel? Are you going to get that in our case? We've decided to go with Alaska natural gas. So now you have to look for the supply of natural gas. Is that something that can be delivered with real certainty? And turns out that is true. It can be.
Are we talking a pipeline then?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Probably
okay.
Probably in excess of 90 miles across Cook Inlet.
Oh.
Be pressurized at anchor points, so you'll use Alaska natural gas from the Kenai Peninsula. And bring that up to be the fuel for a very significant power plant. The power plant not only will have enough power to run the mine, but also will have sufficient power that we can share it with local residents at cost.
All right. And sharing at cost, that would greatly reduce electric prices out that way.
Well, they're paying 80 cents a kilowatt hour, and so you would certainly do it for a fraction of that.
So what's the projected lifetime of this mine? Is it for 5 years, 10 years? How long do they figure they can dig ore?
It's 20 years.
20 years.
That's the
okay.
mine. 20 okay. years, yeah.
And what happens then?
Well, I think that's difficult to speculate. You know, I often tell people that the three largest companies on Earth didn't even exist 20 years ago. I mean, there was no Google, there was no Amazon, there was no. So it's very, very difficult to predict. But right now, all we are doing is planning on a 20-year mine life.
Okay. So I guess what I meant by what happens when it closes down, what happens to the environment? What happens to?
Well, you are required and you're bonded to return everything as nearly perfectly back to original state. And in this particular case, the mine will leave as a footprint one lake about a mile by a mile. Now, it's quite possible that the state would choose to buy the power plant, so you might have more. You might have more remnants.
Than, okay. Well, a power plant would be good for nearby communities.
That's what they did at Juneau. The mine left, and the city bought the power plant.
Okay,
it makes perfect sense.
So, Carly, tell me, if I want to learn more about this Pebble project, let me know. Where do I go?
Yes, if anyone out there would like to continue the conversation or learn more about the project, we do offer meetings and full briefings. So please email me at carlybrakes@pebblepartnership.com, and that's spelled KARLIBRAKES@pebblepartnership.com.
Okay. And is there a website that I could get more information?
Yes, that would be pebblepartnership.com.
Okay, hang on. Let me get a paper. Let's see. Okay, what is that website again?
Pebblepartnership.com. P-E-B-B-L-E partnership.com.
Great. Well, Mark and Carly, thanks for joining me today. And if you're interested in Rotary, come to Palmer Rotary Club in Palmer, Alaska. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.